One of the things that I would like for you to understand, and these points that I'm going to make this morning are absolutely essential for a Christian walk. You've got to know who you are to be able to walk with Jesus. You've got to know what He did for each one of us. Let me share this with you. When you decide that Jesus Christ is going to be the Lord of your life, how many of you have decided that? Okay. When you make that decision, what you've done, you've accepted everything that He's done. When you make a decision to be a follower of Christ, you accept all that Jesus did on that cross. You see, Jesus is the Holy One. Jesus is the Righteous One. Jesus is the forgiver of all sin. Jesus is the mediator between God and man. In other words, all it is rides in Jesus. So when you accept Him, you accept all that He is. You've accepted His holiness. You've accepted His righteousness. And through the power of the Holy Spirit, you will become as He is. So your holiness is not gauged on what you've done. It's gauged on what you believe. Holiness, I have it because I believe in Jesus. I'm a holy man. Now, I'm not bragging on my holiness. I'm bragging on His holiness. I've accepted Him. So accepting Him, I accept all that He did for me. All. I'm just not going to accept part of it. I want everything He did for me. He forgave me of my sins. When did He do that? He did it on the cross. Okay, when can I receive that forgiveness? The only time that I can operate in that is now. So it's in the now that we serve the Lord. It's in the now that we receive our holiness. It's in the now that we receive our forgiveness. It's in the now that we will our will to Him. Now, there's a lot of cleaning up that God has to do in our lives. Let me just share something with you wonderful people. Jesus never caught a fish, never cleaned a fish before He caught him. He never did. He never cleaned a fish and then said, okay, you can come in. He will catch you and then begin to clean you, and it's the Holy Spirit that does the cleaning. You can't clean yourself up. I tried for years to get right to where God would love me. God loves me no matter what condition I'm in. Had you been the only person living in this earth, He would have died for you. He would have brought you His holiness. He would have brought you His forgiveness. He would have brought you His sanctification. He would have brought you His justification. He loves you. Isn't that wonderful? And it's in that love, it is in that love that we can begin to identify in one another. Without knowing what He's done for me, how in the world could I ever look at this brother and see anything other than a mess? I couldn't. But knowing what Jesus did for him, I can look at him and say, well, glory to God, here sits somebody that's right on the mark. Now, he may not feel like it. He may not think it. But you see, I know who he is. And it's in knowing my relationship with Jesus. I want you all, if you would, just to repeat after me. I accept Jesus Christ. As my Lord and Savior. I accept all that He did. For me. Well, isn't that, well, you know that Jesus paid a price for my sickness and my diseases? And we don't like to get down to that part because that requires a little faith. It requires beyond the intellect. Our holiness depends on faith. Our walk with God depends on faith. Our whole attitude toward one another must be one of faith. If it's anything else, we will never walk the walk. Everything that Jesus did for me, I didn't see any of it, but I believe it. That's faith. I believe that what He did for me, I accept it, and I accept it now. In other words, I'm a holy man when?
Now.
Okay. Then when am I saved?
Now.
And I'm saved because I believe it. Not by anything that I've done. You see, if I had to do something, the cross wouldn't be complete. If I had to go do something to prove to God how good I am, I mean, Jesus went to the cross in vain. That means that Charlie Osborne has got to manifest some kind of power or some kind of goodness or some kind of something to impress God. And God looks at me and says, whew, He looks at me like filthy rags until I've accepted Jesus. And when I've accepted Him, He looks at me as perfect. Amen. And you see, that's the joy of the good news. Without that, we walk around full of trouble. We walk around wondering if I'm going to make it. Bitter at the whole world and having to make decisions that are judgmental. The governments hadn't done it right. We didn't handle this situation right. In other words, you become a judge. And in judging, you become a bitter, disillusioned, heartbroken, just miserable person. Depressed and full of anxiety. But it's in when we look at what Jesus did and accept what He did that I can become a person of peace. And my peace is in here. It's not in something that I do. It's something that I accept. I don't have to work for peace. I receive it by believing in Jesus. Now, when all of this begins to happen, wonderful, powerful things begin to develop in our lives. 7 years ago now, and I'm going to tell you, it's just the years are starting to click by. 7 years ago, a Catholic priest told me that Jesus Christ wanted to be the Lord of my life. And I said, how do you do it? I didn't know how. I thought Jesus helped those that helped themselves. Did you ever hear that? And I'd been busy all my life helping myself. I was greedy and I grubbed and I worked and I said, man, I'm going to make it. Well, I made it and I still was miserable. And I was still greedy. I was still selfish. And I didn't understand why. And all the pressure that it took for me to get those things that I was working after, you know, I'd have to take advantage of my brother. I'd have to work out some kind of a deal to beat him. Take advantage of him. Get him when he was in kind of in the shorts, you know, needing cash quick. Then I'd walk in and just murder him. Or I'll just give you half of what it's worth. Or I'd take advantage of my brother. You see, that's greed. And you see, God doesn't have anything to do with that. And it was in that I built, because I was told that God helps those that help themselves. Let me tell you wonderful people something. God helps those that turn their life over to Jesus.
Amen.
It's the only way you'll ever be helped. The only way you'll ever be helped is to make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. And to allow the Holy Spirit to begin to drag you into the reality of who He is. And accept who He is as my own life. And you can't do anything to get that other than receive it. It's all a gift. If we could work for it, we'd say, look what I've done. Here we go, prideful again. Look how many times I come to Mass. Look how many novenas I've made. I mean, you're not going to get your prayers answered because you hadn't made enough novenas yet. That's not the way God works. I mean, that puts a condition on what God will do. Let me just say this. This morning when I was asking and just listening to the Lord on how I should start this thing, you know what the Lord said to me? He said, you can tell my people to expect tremendous miracles here this week. He said, you can tell my people that they're going to be healed physically. He said, you can tell my people they're going to be healed spiritually. So I'm telling you, you're going to... Listen, God's not joking. We're the jokers. I mean, we're the ones that putting conditions on Him. God's not... I mean, God is God, and He wants to be God of His people if we'll let Him. And this week, some of you are going to have powerful experience. Those that are filled with doubt and disbelief, your minds are going to be changed to be filled with faith and love. For those that have had suffering and problems in the area of sickness, God's going to heal your body. God's going to do it. I'm not going to do it. But I'm going to tell you what, He'll use me as a channel. Amen?
Amen.
And that's what we're here for. We are only channels of His love and grace. That's all we are. We're channels of His mercy. And it's in us that He wants to work. So, how many holy people do we have here now? You see, we're holy simply by receiving it and believing it in the name of Jesus. You say, well, I'm still a sinner. Well, I'm still a sinner too. But I'm a holy sinner. Do you know how many people today refuse to accept Jesus Christ as Lord? Do you know that there's only about 2% of the people of the world that accept Jesus? You know that? You know there's 25 other so-called religions that are bigger in the world than Christianity? You know we're way down the list? There's people that know Him. I've talked to Buddhists. I've talked to people that belong to the Mohammed religion, and they'll tell you right off that they know Jesus. People that believe in all of these other religions, they'll tell you that Jesus was a good man. A lot of us know that too. He was a good man, but He was not able to forgive sin, and He was not the Son of God. And they deny His deity. They deny what He brought to this earth. And I'm going to tell you something else. A lot of us Catholics deny Him too. We call ourselves Christian, but we deny the very power of Almighty God. Boy, the Lord, I'm going to tell you, the Lord speaks very, very, very badly toward people that play a lukewarm life for Jesus. You come to church and you say, yeah, I'm a Christian. And you hate your brother. You come to church, I'm a Christian, and you would kill your brother. You come to church and say, I'm a Christian, you take advantage of your brother. You come to church and say, I'm a Christian, but you hate your wife, or you hate your children, or you hate your priest. I'm going to tell you, God's got nothing to do with that. He just doesn't. And He calls that living a lukewarm life for Him. And He said, those that live that kind of a life, He says, I'll puke them right out of my mouth. He said, I'd rather have you cold. He said, I'd rather you be an atheist, not even believe at all, than to play around with Christianity. I'd rather you wouldn't even believe. I'd rather you be cold than lukewarm. But He said, if you're going to be something, be hot for Jesus. Be on fire for the Lord. Be committed to live the life of Jesus. Be committed to let His power flow through us. Be committed to be sons of God. Be committed to be a holy person. How many of you here believe that Jesus Christ has forgiven us of our sins? Raise your hands. We believe that our sins are forgiven? Then what are we doing condemning one another? What are we doing? How do we set ourselves up in judgment if we believe that Jesus forgave this sister? How in the world can I sit at her and condemn her and judge her? Jesus said, if I can't love the one that I see, I'm a liar if I say I love him whom I can't see. And what we're guilty of in this body is we want to judge one another. Why is it so difficult for us to love one another? Why is it so difficult for us to love our husbands? Why is it so difficult for us to love our wives? Why is it so difficult for us to love our children? And I'm going to tell you, your wife came from heaven. Came right from the Father. She's an original. She is something that is totally unique. Something that is wonderful. One of a kind. God never made another one like this sister right here. Just never has. You are an original of God. Now, if you don't believe it, go down and get your fingerprints made and try to find somebody else in the world with the same fingerprints you got. Isn't that amazing? We are unique creatures of Almighty God. We're special. And it's when we allow the uniqueness that we are, the originality that we are, when we begin to understand that in Him we all have been blessed to be sons of God. Now, for you ladies that would have trouble with being a son, listen to this. In St. Paul, in his letter to the Galatians, says, now there is neither slave nor free man. There are no more slaves. There are no more free men. There is neither a Jew nor a Greek. There is neither male nor female. We are all sons of God. In other words, you don't have to carry a petition or protest your position with God, because in God we are all equal. In God we stand together as one. I mean, God didn't make me any better than He made you. You're unique and special and an original and wonderful. And Jesus came for the purpose of allowing you to receive everything that He did. His holiness, His righteousness, His sanctification, His eternal life, His kingdom, everything that He's done. He said, it's all yours. And you don't have to pay anything to get it. It's all yours. Isn't that wonderful? It's yours. It's yours. It's yours. And it's in that that we go around and begin to share what He's done. It's in what He's done for me that I give up my life. When I discovered this, my dear brothers and sisters, I said, oh, hallelujah. I mean, the battle is over. I don't have to make a name for myself. I don't have to make a reputation for myself. I've already got a reputation, and it's in Jesus. I don't have to make something or somebody look at me and say, oh, look how great Charlie is. My mission now is to look and say, how great Jesus is. And it's in Him. It is in Him that I live. It's in Him that we're justified. If you're looking for justice in this world, you'll never get it. There isn't enough laws to bring justice to all mankind. I mean, the poor is going to be flim-flammed and the rich is going to skate through. That's just the way it is. Amen? Amen. And I'm going to tell you, it's just the reverse in the kingdom of God. The poor slide through and the rich get flim-flam. So all you wonderful poor folks out here this morning, We're right where God wants us. Amen? Don't be ashamed of your poverty. Rejoice in it. Rejoice in it. Because it's in the poverty of this world that we can look and see the beauty and the everlasting life of Jesus Christ. As children of God, as sons of the Most High God, Jesus says this, "Judge not, lest ye be judged." Well, now that means something. Don't judge anybody. If you do, you're going to be judged. When is that judgment come to pass? If you judge somebody, when are you judged?
Right then.
In other words, it's in the now that we're judged. Jesus said in His death on the cross, said, "I judge no man. I find no fault with anybody." And when God looks at you and I, He looks at us through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. He sees us as perfect. So the only area that you and I are going to be judged when we get to heaven is what we put judgment on other people. "Well, she's just an old prostitute." Or, "Well, he's just an old bum." And you know, did you know about Susie and Jane? Gossip. Condemning. Slanderous remarks. I mean, we're judging those people. And I'm going to tell you, Jesus said, whatever you've judged a person, that judgment's on you. And whatever you bind on this earth in that judgment, He said, "I'll bind it in heaven." And then He also said, whatever you loose on this earth, I'll loose it in heaven. That's the reason we have reconciliation. And it's when the sin that we have today is the sin that we have against one another. It's not the sin against God. God's forgiven all sin. I mean, He did or He didn't. Amen? I mean, either what Jesus did was for real. And if it isn't for real, then we got to start sweating. Because there's no hope for any of us. But if what He did is for real, then what I've got to do, I've got to look at the world the way He looks at it. I have no right to judge anyone. Because in Him, all men have been justified. I've got no right to put down, gossip, slander, accuse anybody. I've only have a right to love. Now, listen to this. When we walk out of love for one another, we sin. When you resent your husband, buddy, you just missed the mark. When you resent your wife, you just missed the mark. When you resent your children, you just missed the mark. Because it's in love, unconditional love, that Jesus accepted whom? Didn't He accept me? That's the way I accept you. So you don't have to do anything to get my love. Just like I didn't have to do anything to get His love. And when His love came, it did me a 180. It just turned me around. I repented. I said, "Lord, I'm a sinner. Forgive me, Lord Jesus." He said, "Okay, I will." He said, "Now would you forgive all of those that you have aught against? Would you forgive all of those that have hurt you? Would you forgive those that have talked about you? Would you forgive those that have put you down?" And I said, "Lord, I don't think I can do that." He said, "I forgave you." I said, "Oh. You mean to tell me I got to forgive that sorry, no good rascal that raped my daughter? I got to forgive him?" Yep. And you see, it's in that forgiveness that we unbind the snares of the devil that are sinking us and bringing us out of the reality of Jesus. But it's in the forgiveness that we have for one another that God's glorified. It's in the forgiveness that we have for one another that we hit the mark. That's when we are walking in unconditional love, we hit the mark. To sin is to miss the mark. And how many of you know what love is? If we're to walk in love, then we must know what it is. Love is patient. Did you know that?
Yes.
Do you know that love, as 1 Corinthians 13, beginning with the 4th verse. Love is, if we're to walk in Jesus and hit the mark when we pray, we've got to walk in love. Now we've got to know what love is, because if we're not walking in love, we're walking in sin. Can you get a hold of that? If you're not walking in love, you're walking in sin. So we've got to know what love is. What is love? Love is always patient. It never gets out of patient. Love is always patient. Then who do we have to be patient with? Those that we can see. My wife. My children. Let's bring it down into the home. Because that's where most of the love, that's where we're the least patient. And it says, love is kind. Didn't say love was hateful. It didn't say love was aggravated. It said love is kind. And it says love is never jealous. Now what we're doing, we're making it to where you can walk, please, and please the Lord Jesus Christ. See, we've had a tough time with sin. We thought sin was something deep and diabolical, and you know, it was only in those deep areas. If I walk way off over here, I might get off into sin. No, when you're not walking in faith, you're walking in sin. And the reason that I'm bringing this out is because a lot of us have been praying, and God hadn't heard our prayers. You've been praying for years for the same thing, and you just said like you're praying amiss. God doesn't hear you. Well, the reason that He can't hear you is because you're missing the mark. You're not walking with patience. You got to be patient when you pray. You got to be patient not only with God, but you got to be patient with your wife. You got to be patient with Father. You got to be patient with the choir. You got to be patient with the bishop. You got to be patient with the president. You got to be patient with your children. You got to be patient with the Russians. You got to be patient with the you got to be patient. Because that's what God is. God is patient. And when we're not walking in patience and we pray, we miss the mark. You get mad at somebody and start praying and see if your prayer ever gets answered. Some of you have even quit praying because God never hears you. That's the reason that this morning He told me, He said, tell my people this week I'm going to heal them. There's going to be a lot of repentance this week. You see, when can we start operating in patience? Huh? So now is when we can begin to operate. We don't have to wait. Who haven't done it for the last 10 years? Well, that's okay. We can start when? That brings us right into the presence of God. There's always that beginning. Well, you say, what if I should walk out of it again? Repent, and you're right back into it. We have a mediator with God, and He's not condemning us. He's forgiving us if we will seek forgiveness and reconciliation with one another. Love is patient. When you're walking in love, you're patient. You're just patient. Patient in ministry. I have to be patient in this ministry. It says love never fails. Isn't that what it says? Well, love never fails, and what is love? Love is patient. Patience never fails. It wins. You know that? Patience hits the mark. But you see, we have to be patient with one another. Husbands have got to be patient with their wives. Wives have to be patient with their husbands. And when they're patient together, their kids no longer running around going, I mean, strung out. So you can't give them enough drugs to hold them down. They call them hypertensious kids. I'm going to tell you what causes it. It's the anxiety that runs through the mother and father and the rest of the family. The little kids like this. No patience. It's no love. Because God is love. Amen? I mean, we learned that in the Baltimore Catechism. And what? To love Him is to serve Him. To serve Him is to know Him. The only way you can know God is through patience. God is patient. He is also kind. And He is never jealous. And nor is He conceited.